Welcome back to the Strong and Lean at Any Age podcast. I am Susan Niebergall, and today I have a very, very special episode. Colin Daniels is joining me on the podcast today. Colin is a trainer over in Ireland, and he's also an Inner Circle member. And Colin originally had hopped on Jordan Syed's podcast a while back talking about menopause and how he could help his women clients who were going through menopause. And he and Jordan had the best conversation about training women going through menopause and what it's like and how he can best help them. And Colin reached out to me and wanted to continue that conversation with some questions and come on my podcast. So I am thrilled to have Colin with me today. We had a great conversation about menopause, some of the symptoms, what they are, what they aren't, and how we can work our training and nutrition and be successful with it all, because it's not too late. So go grab your coffee, put up your feet, take a listen. I think you're really, really going to love this episode. Hey, Colin, how are you?
Hey, Susan, really good. How are you?
Oh, my God, I am amazing. It is so great to speak to you, really, especially after all of our technology issues.
It's been crazy, but look, we're here. That's all that matters.
That is exactly all that matters. Before we dive in, I want to ask, how's the baby?
He's in great form. He's really good. Thank you so much.
Yeah. How old is he now?
He's 7 weeks. He was 7 weeks on Friday.
Oh, my gosh.
No, time's going way too quick. I just wish it would slow down right now.
You know what? And I don't have really good news about that part. Mine's almost 22, and I can't even believe it. So,
And I guarantee you can remember the birth and going to the hospital and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. It's a really funny story, too. I tell that all the time. Yeah, I do. I remember it like it was yesterday. Just enjoy every single second, even when you're really sleep deprived. That does get better, by the way, if you're not sleeping well.
Funny enough, we're actually getting 4 to 5 hours a night some nights.
Oh, my gosh.
We are blessed. He's a good young lad.
He sure is. Well, give him a hug and kiss from me, okay?
Well, thank you so much, Darren. You're too kind.
So I wanted to fill everybody in a little bit on the history here. So Colin is a member of the Inner Circle, and he's a fabulous coach over in Ireland. And he had hopped on a podcast with Jordan Syed, who does the Inner Circle. He and I do the Inner Circle together. And the best part about that conversation was two guys talking about menopause. And that was the best podcast. And I will link it down here for everyone to go listen to, because I want everyone to listen to that podcast as well. And then Colin reached out to me and kind of wanted to do a follow-up with me, kind of the same topic related. And I'm like, oh, of course. I mean, it's so great to just talk about it and give perspective and help in any way, you know, that we can to help each other. So that's what brings us here. And I'm super excited.
Absolutely. I am so excited. I can't wait to get this done. I just pick your brains.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to let you just dive in if you have anything in particular you want to chat about first.
I have just a list of questions for you, darling. Okay. I'm hoping to get through. And look, if we don't get them all, we can maybe hop on this again. We'll see what happens. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Right. We might as well dive in straight away. Now, I kind of want to get you pissed off and get you ranting first. That's why I put this question in.
Okay.
As myself and Jordan talked about, that it was not impossible. I'd heard previously that it was impossible to lose weight during menopause. And we discussed that, and you're a firm believer it's not impossible. So I wondered, could you just give us a quick insight on your journey when you started to now?
Yeah, sure. So for me, I had noticed over a long period of time a change in my body. And it was interesting because I was the one who always thought I was doing everything right. I was eating, quote, healthy, unquote, but I wasn't really keeping track of what I was eating. But if you looked at what I was eating, you would think, wow, that's pretty good. And I never ate sugar. I never let myself enjoy anything. And if you start thinking about that, that was a little bit restrictive. But at the time, everyone said, oh, Susan, you're disciplined. You know, you're hitting all the right things and whatever. So I thought I was doing everything right. I was working out 6 days a week, super, super, super hard. And yet my body was still changing. And it was this one day that I remember sitting in my bathroom, looking at my body and going, what the hell has happened to me? I just didn't even recognize myself anymore. And I got super, super upset, started crying, didn't understand. I was a fit pro. I thought I looked terrible. I said, what am I doing? I don't know what's happening to me. And it was all the it's happening to me mentality, you know?
Hey.
And then I went to my doctor and just assumed that this was all menopausal symptoms because I started reading about it and said, oh, yeah, that's what this is. I'm just going to go have all the tests done, get some medication, get my metabolism cranked back up because it's obviously slowed down. That's what's the problem, all that kind of stuff. Then I thought I'd be just on my way. I get my medication and I'm on my way and here we go. Everything will be great. And my test came back fine. There was nothing wrong with my metabolism, my thyroid, my hormones, nothing. My doctor just kind of looked at me and said, you're just eating too much. And I just couldn't even wrap my head around that because I felt like eating too much, I am restricting myself from all the bad foods, quote unquote, you know, how could I be eating too much? And I couldn't really even wrap my head around that. And it took a while. It took, I don't even know how long the while was, months, maybe a month, couple months, something. But I finally started understanding what she was saying. And that's when it all started to change. Basically, when I took responsibility for what I had been doing. And that's when I met up with Jordan and he started training me. And I started putting into practice everything that he preaches. And I started learning. And that's when it all changed. And I was probably at that point 50, I don't know exactly, maybe 54, 55, 55, maybe something like that. I never really kept a journal of time, what age I was at. And so it's somewhere in the 54, 55 neighborhood, you know? And then it's just been, you know, it's been full steam ahead ever since. So it's kind of an example that, yeah, I was in my 50s and changed it.
And you reshaped your whole body.
Entirely. And the one thing one comment I loved from Jordan and that you all talked about is what he said was 100% true. I didn't try to regain my body back. I built an entirely new body. And that I had never thought of that until he said that. And that's exactly what happened. Not necessarily that was my drive and my purpose consciously, but that's exactly what happened. Yeah, I don't look anything like I looked like years ago, even when I had been in the low part of my yo-yo dieting when I had lost a lot of weight. I look different now than I did even back then when I thought that was the pinnacle, you know?
Yeah. That's amazing. So, yeah, and that's why I'm actually calling my program Reshape.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, so anyone who signs up with me, it'll be a Reshape program because, of course, like you say, there's no point in getting the body you had.
Yeah.
Let's reshape our whole bodies.
Oh, absolutely. I love that, Colin. I think that's such a great perspective and a great title for that because it does – how you think matters. I really believe that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we are just trying to reshape, rebuild. Yeah, I love that.
Perfect. Thank you so much. It's a good day here. Excellent. Okay, Darren, on to questions. I know we've touched on diet, and it has been proven that high protein is the best diet in menopause.
Yeah.
But so far, working with a lot of people, I find that we're not getting enough protein. People just don't get enough protein. As much as they say, oh, I'm hitting my 100 grams of protein or 200 grams, they don't. Could you give me a little idea on how you get your protein in?
Sure. And I'm glad you touched on protein because I think a lot of people, first of all, underestimate the value of protein in fat loss. I think intuitively, we think protein is the game changer in muscle building, but it's really even more of a game changer in fat loss for a lot of reasons. But for those of us getting older and even people in their 30s and stuff, I mean, we started losing muscle back in our 30s. And so staying on top of that, that's where protein comes in. And especially if you're trying to lose fat, protein is going to keep you obviously feeling fuller longer. And it takes more calories to digest. So there's a calorie burning effect, you know, in the plus column there. But it's also going to help you maintain your muscle while you're losing fat. And as we get older, oh boy, is that ever important, you know? So the importance is humongous. And I think people, that gets lost on a lot of people. So just putting that to the forefront. But for me, I literally
I do a couple things, and I have all my clients do this, and I encourage Inner Circle members to do this as well. And that is, I have people create a protein cheat sheet, and that cheat sheet just has, it's like a spreadsheet. I made it myself, and it just has a column listing all the protein sources that I like to eat. Then the next column, serving sizes of those protein sources. So like something like chicken, I would have multiple serving sizes because sometimes a piece of chicken is 6 ounces. Sometimes it's 4 ounces. Sometimes it's 3 ounces. So I make multiple serving sizes. And then next to that, how many calories are in each of those serving sizes? And next to that, how many protein grams are in each of those serving sizes? So then what you have is this entire spreadsheet of all your protein sources that you like, what the serving size is, how many calories are in there, and how many protein grams are in there on each thing. And so now you plan all your meals around that. You pick, okay, I want 4 ounces of chicken. Okay, so that's so many calories and so many grams of protein. And now you can build your meals around that. And I think when you start building meals around protein, that's how you can increase protein. That's one way just of staying organized with it, you know? Another way to increase protein, and this gets overlooked a lot, and that is just increase the size of the servings that you're eating now. You don't have to add more protein, different proteins to your list. Just if you're eating 4 ounces of chicken, make it 5, because the difference in protein is going to be probably 10 grams or more, you know? So right there, you have already increased your protein grams, let's say from 30 something to 40 something, just by making your piece of chicken a little bigger. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So increasing serving sizes of what you're already doing is probably the most efficient way and easiest way to get more protein in. And you can easily refer to that protein cheat sheet to see what would work for your calories and all that kind of thing. So that's another way. And I think the other thing is just giving yourself a goal and try to plan out, okay, I want to hit like 30 grams of protein each time I eat. And so if you give yourself a goal like that, then you have to just plan it. And planning is actually key for anything. You don't have to prepare it. I think that's different. Meal prep is different than meal planning. But if I would sit down like by tonight and figure out what are my meals going to look like tomorrow. That way I've already sketched it out on paper, you know, so I already know how much protein I'm getting at breakfast. I'll know how much protein I'm getting at lunch. I know how much protein I'm getting at dinner. And all I've done is write it down on a piece of paper. I mean, anybody that's been around me long enough knows I don't use apps to track that kind of stuff. I use a paper and pencil. So, and people in my age group, it's maybe more user friendly. It's a nice way of saying it for people, you know, in your 50s or something. I didn't grow up with this technology, so it's not intuitive for me to get on an app and enter stuff in there. What is intuitive for me is to write it down. And so for me, that works. I'm not saying you have to do that, but just an idea. But anyway, I think those are the ways you can really focus and get your protein in. What do you think?
That's absolutely amazing. I love that protein cheat sheet. That's excellent.
Yeah, I think that's super helpful. And the thing is, I created mine years ago. I still have it on my computer desktop, so I can get to it easily. You know, I use it all the time. And the cool thing is you can add to it, you know?
Of course, yeah. You can always add, take away, do whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah.
Would you look at the supplements or anything for protein, or would you just whole hard food?
I do use a protein powder occasionally. There are times if I'm out on the road, or if I'm even when I'm traveling, I'll take some protein powder with me just because I won't have as much control over my diet while I'm away. So I'll take some powder with me. But I would say always the priority is try to get it from food. And the biggest reason for that, not only just from a nutrient perspective and all that, but from a satisfaction perspective, a satiety perspective, you're going to feel fuller. You're going to feel kind of like you got more out of the deal than if you just drink something. I mean, at least psychologically, that's how I feel. You know, I feel like when I chew, it like I'm getting something, you know.
Yes.
When I drink my calories, you could drink a protein shake in a matter of seconds and it's gone and it's done. And you're like, wait a minute.
100%. Now, I've always said to my clients, it's a supplement. It's what we can't get in via food, we supplement in.
That's 100%.
Yeah, I still feel there's a lot of people afraid of protein shakes.
100%. And there's nothing to be afraid of at all. I just think that, and I think you hit the nail on the head, it is a supplement. And by definition, a supplement means in addition to, absolutely, not to replace. In addition.
For example, here in Ireland, we don't get enough sun. We have to supplement in vitamin C, vitamin D, all that kind of stuff. So it's the same with our protein, that if we can't get it in through like chicken or steak or whatever, so then have a look at shakes.
Absolutely. And it's a great convenience option, too, if you are on the road and you're not going to be able to, like, sit there and have a sandwich or some chicken or whatever. It's a great option for convenience when you need to do it. But, yeah, you and I are both on the exact same page. Highly, highly recommend working to get it in via food first and then supplement if you need to.
If you need, 100%. And can you just please tell everybody there's nothing to be afraid of with a protein shake?
Absolutely. No. And, protein, it's just protein.
Yeah,
it's just protein. I would like to
drink those steroids again. And I was like, what?
Oh, don't get me started on that. I get accused of that all the time.
We'll do another podcast on that movie.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. But it's so funny because protein, people kind of think there's really good protein or bad protein. And I tell people this, your protein powder should meet two criteria. One, you like the taste of it. Otherwise, what's the point? And two, it fits in your budget. That's about as crazy as it gets, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Get a big chicken in
there. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right.
Yes. Excellent. Okay. So moving on. Energy loss seems to be a massive factor in menopause.
Yeah.
So you've always got a massive smile on your face and so much energy.
Yeah.
Is there anything you can put that down to?
Yeah. You know, wow. Energy is a massive issue for some people during menopause. And I always want to preface menopause symptoms for some people, because not everyone has all of the same symptoms. You know, it's very different for everybody. And 100%. So energy loss is tough. And I think people handle that differently. Yesterday, for example, I was dragging my butt. It was a workout day. I opted not to work out. I'm working out today instead. And it was just sleep. Quality sleep. I had been traveling for a family wedding and no quality sleep on board. Quality sleep is what really helps with that. And in menopause, that can be an issue depending on what your symptoms are. And what I do, if I'm dragging an energy, I will try to make notice, and I don't usually track carbs at all. I really don't, but I become a little bit more aware of carbs on the days that I might be dragging just a little bit. And then I move. I force myself to move in some way. And that may not mean going to the gym and knocking out this crazy workout like yesterday. That wasn't going to happen for me yesterday. But I put on my headphones and I went for an hour plus walk yesterday and just listened to some podcasts and stuff. Got my heart rate up a little bit, walked a little faster than I normally do. I just made myself get up and move. So it looked very different, than a normal workout day. And that helped tremendously. That woke me up of sorts and everything. And everyone, like I said, it's going to be very different for that. And it's going to be super hard to do it. But I totally recommend just forcing yourself to move in some way, giving yourself grace that it doesn't have to be the best workout ever. Just go to the gym or move or do something, because you will feel better on the tail end of that. And just watch. I think nutrition plays a role in this as well. And I think it's just really imperative just to be on top of your nutrition when you're feeling sluggish, but moving, getting the blood flowing, that's really going to help.
So movement first and then look into your carbs and everything else.
Yeah. And when I say look into carbs, I pride myself in saying I've never tracked carbs ever. Like, I've never weighed, measured a single carb in my life. And I'm never going to do that unless I absolutely have to. And I can't imagine I ever would have to. So I don't mean it in that way. I just mean, like, I made I do this oatmeal with some protein powder in it sometimes and what, and some Greek yogurt or whatever. And I just added more oats than I would maybe normally have, something like that. I just became aware of having carbs every time I ate as well to help fuel me in whatever I was doing that day. And that helped me a lot.
So just being just a little bit more mindful of going, okay, my carbs are a little bit low, let's
put
them.
Yep, absolutely.
And as you said, just add them into what you're eating anyway.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
So simple.
And that could be fruit, you know? It could be whatever.
Yeah, fruit, veg, your standard carbs, of course.
It could be whatever, right.
Perfect. Excellent. Okay, my next question was about the sleepless nights. It seems to be a killer for some people in menopause. Have you experienced that?
Yeah, I did. I did. I had the classic night sweats, which are brutal. You literally, they will wake you up and you are drenched in sweat. And you're like, for no, like it could be the dead of winter. It doesn't matter. It's all internal. So and what happens is because you're wet, you're now cold, you know, because you're literally wet and the heat's on or whatever. So now you're cold. So now it's like, okay, you get up, you change. And sometimes I will have to put a towel on the sheets because I've soaked through the sheets, and this is all in the middle of the night. And sometimes it could be more than once in the middle of the night. So it's brutal. So if you think about it, your sleep pattern can be disrupted several times throughout the course of a night. And when that happens, you know, your quality of sleep is just down the tubes.
Yeah. And you don't have the same REM. So it's going to be
fine. Yeah. And when you're exhausted, you also tend to eat more. You know, that triggers all kinds of hormonal reactions that we all know. So, I mean, it's kind of this snowball effect if you're not aware of what's happening, you know. And for the longest time, I wasn't. Sleep deprivation is really, really tough. It can cloud emotions. It clouds your hunger. It can obviously cloud your energy. It can cloud everything. And that's a tough one. And I tell people this. I think the first thing is you need to have some grace with yourself. Like I would get really angry at myself. Why can't I lift as heavy? Or why can't I go in and do as much as I did before? Well, it's because I'm working on very little sleep and I wasn't even giving myself a break. You know, like, of course I can't do that. And it's okay that I can't do that. And then from a trainer perspective, I would say also it'll start clouding, like memory stuff can come into play. I mean, and that comes into play anyway, the brain fog kind of thing. And I think that is huge, especially for us as coaches to understand that some people are going to struggle remembering shit. You know, they're going to struggle remembering stuff that we told them 5 minutes ago. And it's not because they're dumb or they can't figure it out. It's because they're having brain fog, which is another huge symptom of all of this, and can also get tied into not having sleep and not being able to process clearly. So it's just another thing to be aware of, and patience and understanding that it's, hey, we are more than capable. It's just we are struggling, you know, with that. And when I would see my clients struggling with that, I, as a coach, would change programming a little bit to make it much easier for them to not have to figure out and remember this new exercise or something. We would keep it very basic so they can build upon basic, you know, which is just a good rule of thumb anyway. But for that in particular, because then that's a confidence thing that they can build on and be able to feel like, you know, that they've conquered this and not have to worry about all the other menopause stuff that's going on. But this all can relate back to sleep.
Yes, of course. Okay, so yeah, and on the sleepy days and stuff like that, and you pointed out perfectly, you went for a walk instead of just going and trying to have a gym session.
Yeah, I think the key is just to move, and obviously set yourself up for success sleep-wise. You know, all the things we always hear, give yourself time to wind down, you know, try to keep the electronics off, the TV off, you know, all those things that we all hear and we all know always come into play as well. You know, sometimes our life is not always cooperative with all the perfect little plans, but, you know, obviously just being aware of that stuff and just try to put into practice what you can. If you are able to take a nap, take a nap. I used to hate taking naps. And I'm still not a fan of them just for me personally. It just makes me feel kind of off kilter. But boy, if I have to, if I am that tired and my eyes start to close, oh, I know I need to shut my eyes maybe for 15, 20 minutes and I get up feeling a lot better. Just experiment with that. But movement, really, it's not going to make you go from I'm dragging my butt from not having any sleep to I could go move a house. You know, it's I don't think it's that dramatic, but it is going to make you wake up a little bit and maybe see things a little clear, get some food on board, and then you can finish out your day. Maybe you have to work, you know, or whatever it is.
Yeah. Perfect. That's excellent. That's what we're looking for. And we just touched on it. The memory loss that plays a massive part. Have you any little secrets to help with that?
Yeah. You know what? I wish if I had a cure or the secret and tip for that, that would be like pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But I will tell you a story that I don't think I've ever told before. And it's going to be very quick because I don't want to dominate this, but it's really, and I'm going to speak about this more. Years ago, maybe 10, so I would have been in my 40s, maybe 12 years ago, I was having some very unusual symptoms that freaked me out. I was having vertigo. I was having tingling on my left side, which made me nervous about heart issues. I was not able to function at my job, which I was working as a school counselor back then. I would literally have to leave school and come home and lay down. I couldn't function. And I went to doctor after doctor. They sent me to every specialist known to man, starting with the heart people, because as soon as you say tingling in your left arm, you know, they start thinking heart issues. So I went to a heart specialist and they sent me to a neurologist because they were thinking multiple sclerosis. They were all kinds of things. And I hopped from everybody and no one was finding anything with me. Till the very end of the line, my ENT did just one of these inner ear tests with me. And they did find a little something weird with my inner ear, some imbalance there. And they weren't 100% sure, but they said it looked like there was a little inner ear damage. Maybe could have been a virus that kind of came and went, blah, blah, blah. They weren't 100% sure, but that was the best I could get. And I look back on that now and think, well, hell, all of those are menopausal symptoms. Every single one of those could have been due to menopause. And not one single doctor, not one, brought that up as a possibility. And it really wasn't until a couple years ago, maybe a year ago, that I started thinking, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's all that could have been. Even though they did find some inner ear stuff but they weren't really, you know, they weren't like definitive and saying, yes, this was it. I think they were grasping at straws to find something wrong with me,
just
you know?
but
I look back on that now and the more that the menopausal symptoms are coming out and people are learning more, all of those could have been attributed to menopause, every single thing. Crazy. So, and along those lines, memory loss and all that, to kind of circle back to this. So there's no trick that I can even give on that. I struggle with it sometimes myself. I struggle with remembering what to say. If I'm recording a video, I sometimes know what I want to say. It just leaves my brain.
Yeah.
You know, I'll walk into a room and wonder, why the hell did I walk in here? You know, that's been going on for a while. Things like that. And so I think just staying on top of that and seeking a doctor's advice, if it becomes to the point where your quality of life is being affected, I would always recommend people go talk to your doctor, which is what I did. There was nothing that was affecting me from the weight loss perspective and all that. That's what I went to see the doctor of. And then I went to see doctors with all of these other symptoms. And no one talked to menopause back then. That was 12 years ago, probably. Now, I bet the conversations may circle around to that more frequently than they did when I was going through them. But always seek the advice of a medical professional. And if hormone replacement therapy could be in play for you, maybe not. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I don't really want to speak specifically to that. I was never on that. But I do hear that has been helpful for a lot of symptoms. So always I would encourage people, go seek some medical attention. If you feel like the quality of your life has been affected dramatically, then definitely go talk to somebody and see what kind of options there may be.
Of course. Perfect. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so we touched at the start about the metabolism and how it can slow down. I know it's not a massive amount as we age.
Yeah.
But it does slow down. And we have, it's come to prove that strength training is one of the best ways to get it back up.
Yeah, for sure.
Could you give us a quick breakdown of your training?
Oh, sure. Yeah, so before I worked with Jordan, I was training 6 days a week, super hard, lots of volume, and sometimes two-a-days. And two-a-days could look like maybe strength training in the early part of the day, and maybe cardio in the second part of the day, or I did two strength training days and two workouts in one day. All in the name of getting strong and thinking, and all in the name of fear, actually, which is where being honest with yourself eventually comes in. I told everybody I worked out that much because I loved it, but the reality was I was going in fear because I was feeling like I was losing control over my body with what I thought menopause was doing to me. So I worked out twice as hard, thinking that was the problem. I wasn't working out hard enough. So Jordan scaled me back to 4 days a week, which sent me through the roof for like a month. I didn't know what to do with myself. I was panicked, really, because I thought I was going to get fat. I thought I was going to lose progress and the whole nine yards. And the irony about what I was doing before was I was making no progress whatsoever. None.
Yeah,
but
of course,
I was
told 4 days a week. How
yeah.
You progress?
So I scaled back to 4 days a week. 3 rest days, and my progress shot through the roof. Like, it was insane. And this is what I would tell everybody, you know, rest days are the kind of the stepchild. People think it's being weak when you're resting, that you have to do something. And a lot of people I talk to tell me, well, I just love it. I just want to keep going. And they were just like me. That's what they say. But most people have an underlying fear of not working out, you know, of, I'm going to lose everything I've built, or I'm not going to make any more progress, or I'm going to get fat. And I'm here to tell you, rest days, especially for you as you get older, are not only, you know, preferable, but they're needed, because our bodies are going to take longer to recover as we age. And that's not a bad thing. That's actually a great thing, because what a rest day is going to do, it's going to fuel your next workout to the point where that's going to be like through the roof good, you know? And so, for example, my training now, I train when my schedule's intact, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. And so I go Monday, lower body day, I rest on Tuesday, Wednesday, I do upper body day. And so not only do I have a day in between, but I also have an extra day between body parts. So by the time I get to Wednesday, I am like ready to rock upper body day, you know? And then by the time I get to Friday, my legs, I haven't worked my legs since Monday. They are ready and raring to go for Friday. So it's a great recipe for building strength and building definition and just keeping your body rested and recovered and preventing injuries, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so you've Monday, you've got legs, Wednesday, upper, Friday, have you got another leg session, or do you do like a full body session?
Friday, I do another leg session, and then Sunday, I do my other upper session.
Another upper session.
Yeah. So Sunday, Monday, I go back to back. I mean, with an odd number of days in a week, you have to kind of do that. But, you know, I try to stay within a 7-day week, but you know what? You don't have to do that. And I think that's super important for people to understand. You know, I don't even know who invented the week, but it's a very random.
As humans, we invented time, not our bodies.
Yeah, right.
So we only have 7 days.
Right. So it doesn't really matter 4 workouts a week or, you know, we're all doing that because that's a point of reference for us in time. But I could really go every other day and just keep in that loop, you know. So my day, the actual days will get off, but the workout a day, rest a day, workout a day, rest a day. That's the pattern. That's basically the pattern. And especially since I travel a lot now, that keeping that in my head and keeping the deadline of a week out of my brain has certainly helped me keep my rhythm workout-wise.
Yeah. Perfect. Brilliant. And like that, we still have a lot of ladies who are afraid of getting big and bulky if they go in and lift weights.
Yeah.
Advice for a lady, we'll say of a later age, 30s to 40s, who might be starting strength training or who are afraid to start strength training.
Yeah, you know, the whole bulk thing, I find that so fascinating, because if you really break that down logically, it doesn't make any sense for us women to be afraid of that. You know, I mean, we can start with testosterone. I mean, you know, just the fact that we don't have very much and guys do, that alone is a difference maker. But then if you think about all the guys in a gym that are trying to bulk and can't, you know.
I felt so bad for all these guys buying bodybuilder.com programs.
Right. They're trying to bulk.
Yes.
And they're eating a lot of calories and they're lifting super heavy weight and they can't bulk. So what makes us think that we're going to bulk by lifting 25 pound dumbbell? You know, I mean, it's that part of it just kind of, okay. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. So for someone who's afraid of that, you know, I think you have to think logically, and you want to get a program with a trainer like yourself or a coach, somebody who's going to take them through progressively, either starting with very little weight or body weight or something, learning basic strength moves and watching what happens when you keep your nutrition in check. Because the problem where people say, especially women that say, oh, you know, I got bulky as soon as I started lifting weights. Well, you might have gotten bulky, but it wasn't muscle. It was probably more fat because you were eating more calories than you should have been eating in order to maintain and see some lean muscle. That's where the bad reputation comes, I think, is that there are people that don't get a hold of their nutrition. So to everyone that's just starting, make sure your nutrition is in check. If it's fat loss, make sure you're in a deficit. Whatever your goal is, make sure your nutrition is under control and then work on strength and you will see what happens. It's just when you let nutrition fly by the wayside that's where the issues start to happen.
And I know myself, starting out weight training, after your first few sessions, you're just starving and you need some sort of food in.
Yeah.
So you reckon the people who have tried weight and went and, as you say, gained a little bit of weight, it's just because they ate whatever it felt like it after the first weight training session.
Yeah, you know, sore too. You could be sore.
Yeah, and, that too.
Yeah, right? And just know that will go away too. So don't think sore means good or bad. It just is. It's a reality. And as far as the hunger goes, I get that a lot. Like people who are starting, they're hungry like afterwards and stuff. And I said, so then it's time to start redistributing your calories for the day and save some for after a workout, you know, and aim for like 20 to 30 grams of protein and carbs, you know, after a workout. Plan a meal. Like it's so funny. Some people call it post-workout. Well, depending on when you work out, your post-workout could be dinner, you know. It doesn't have to be this separate thing. So depending on when you work out, your post-workout calories can be your dinner or your lunch or whatever it is for you, depending on when you work out. It doesn't have to be a shake. You know, everyone thinks you have to have a post-workout shake within 30 minutes, and you don't have to do that.
That's another pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, right? It is a pet peeve of mine, too. And it can be whatever you want to call it. Names are just names, but just redistribute your calories so you can eat after a workout and feel satisfied. And a combination of protein and carbs is perfect for that, you know, 20 to 30 grams of each. And once you start understanding and learning what that looks like for you, you know, then you can have maybe some go-to meals, which, by the way, I think is super important to have anyway, just some go-to meals that you always have the ingredients of in your house. You know how to make it with your eyes closed. You know the calories and servings and protein grams by heart, and you like it, and you eat it frequently. That's always a good idea. And so have one of those, save calories for that after your workout. That's a great way to keep the hunger piece under control.
Love it. Love it. Thank you so much. Next question I have is, on the workouts, do you recommend short, intense workouts or slow, steady, like power building workouts?
You know, I think that's so individual. I don't think there's one that's better than another, just in general, unless you have specific goals. So if your goal is to lose fat, then my priority would be strength training and adding some cardio on some rest days. And when I say add some cardio, I don't mean super high intensity interval training kind of thing. I mean just some light cardio, you know, for a time. And that's kind of what I'm doing with walking now. I'm walking more now on my rest days. And it's not to get my heart rate up, really. It's just to walk and move. And that's a great addition to strength training. I think people get it mixed up when they think the high intensity interval stuff is going to burn more calories. It's going to build more muscle. It's not going to do any of that. I think the aim should be to build muscle because that's going to make you an efficient calorie burner over the long haul anyway. And it's going to keep and maintain your muscle, which is what you want to do while you're trying to lose fat. And then you're going to start getting stronger and build muscle from that, which we can do as we get older as well. So I would always prioritize strength training and just getting out of your comfort zone and lifting heavy weight, not a little, you know, 1 pound dumbbell or anything. Get uncomfortable and learn how to lift heavy weight appropriately. And when I say get uncomfortable, people immediately get scared and they think I have to lift, you know, 5 million pounds or something. And that's not what that means. You know, you have one extreme of a 1 pound dumbbell and then you've got another extreme of 500 pounds. Well, there's a whole gray area here in the middle that is yet to be, you know, ventured into. So venture into that area and be smart about it, but also make yourself a little uncomfortable. But strength training would definitely be the priority. And then add cardio. Don't flip that around. Don't do cardio as your priority and then add strength training. I would flip it. So strength training is your priority and add some cardio, especially if you love cardio. If you love cardio and you love a class or you love riding a bike or running or whatever it is, do that. Absolutely do that.
But you're saying get three to four strength sessions in before you look at cardio.
I would, yeah, for sure.
And then your strength training is, obviously we know the components, our deadlifts, our squat, our bench, and pull-ups. And you prioritize those movements on each day.
Yeah, so Jordan still writes my programming. And my program has, every day, the first lift out of the gate is a compound move, a squat, a deadlift, a press, something like that. And then after that, there are supersets and trisets and that kind of thing, more isolation-based stuff, and the reps start going way up. Like I'm in a bodybuilding kind of phase right now, semi-bodybuilding kind of phase right now. I'm not 100%, but semi. So my reps have gone, my volume has gone way up. And so I've had to adjust my weight accordingly. Like I can't go in thinking I can do the same weight that I did for 6 reps that I can do for 20 reps, you know? So a lot of regrouping there, but that's kind of how it's done. I program for my clients similarly, not exactly like that, but I always start with a big compound lift and then superset and go a little more isolation from that point down.
Very same. I actually do the very same kind of program as yourself.
Yeah. So I think it's super effective because you can include everything that way.
Absolutely. And especially on the full body day, it's not as boring as legs, or it's not as sore as legs, we should say.
100%. Right. Yes.
Get to play around a little bit more. I love it.
Yes. Yes.
And just on that, could you tell everybody how much you've added to your pull-up? I know you've added weight to your pull-ups. What are you up to now?
Yeah. So I'm officially chin-up. So I want to make that really clear. I'm not going overhand. No, it's okay. Overhand grip.
Another topic, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, because of shoulder issues, I'm never going to go overhand grip into a pull-up. Hard on the shoulders. Not worth it to me. So chin-ups, I'm up to a 35-pound weighted chin-up right now. My goal has been 45 pounds, and there are some days where I feel like I can walk up, I could do it, and there are some days it's like, no way. I could do just no way.
A reference point for anyone here in Ireland, that's about 15 kilos that's right around her waist.
Yeah.
Extra. That's the equivalent of a small child. Like that.
Yeah, it is pretty much a small child. That and for some reason, that was just a random goal, just because it's the big plate, you know, it's the big plate in the gym. So I wanted to strap on the big plate. And so I've been working my way up to it, but I've had to be very smart about it. Jordan's programmed these in very slowly. I always have chin-ups in some way, shape, or form. Haven't had weighted chin-ups for several months in my program, but I'll knock out one or two just to get a feel for them, make sure I'm good. And I'm still good at 25 pounds for some reps. 35 pounds, I can get a single. If I practice weighted more, I'll get more than that. And then knocking on the door 45. So sometime soon.
Amazing. Well done. That's absolutely fantastic. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I'm trying, but it's, you know, slow process.
It's slow, but that's why we're here, isn't it? Because we want
to. But it is. And I know you preach this too, and I think it's super important for everyone to hear that there's no finish line to what we're doing here. There's just no deadline. And I think that concept was the thing that changed my life the most. Realizing that there's no, I should be losing weight faster. I should be getting that chin up faster. I should be able to do more push-ups, or the should be's are gone. Once you get rid of timelines and the expectations and stuff, the freedom from that is life changing. And it just puts your journey in an entirely different light. You know, it's way more fun.
I've always said health and fitness should be a lifestyle, not a goal, and not a certain. These challenges, the 6-week challenges, like we all run them, but my intention on 6-week challenges are to set you up for life, not for success.
Yes.
It's looking at the longer picture, not the what can I lose in 6 weeks. It's, okay, what can I learn in 6 weeks that would benefit me for the rest of my life?
100%. 100%. Yeah. I love that. I think that is, that mindset is what will change everything. And I think we are so hard on ourselves. You know, I'm not doing this right. I should be losing weight faster, so I'm going to restrict calories more because I'm not doing it right. Or I'm not, you know, something's not right. No, you're doing just fine.
Absolutely. All right, with the wedding in 2 weeks, I have to drop 3 dress sizes.
Yes.
It's not really going to happen.
Yeah. And it's like, who cares if it takes 2 months to lose 10 pounds, 5 months to lose 10 pounds? Who cares? It doesn't matter.
No progress is better than no progress.
Yeah. Oh, right. 100%.
Yes, I love it.
100%.
Okay, I know what you're talking there. Yeah, sorry, can you hear me?
No, I was going to say, how do people view that kind of stuff? How do your clients view that kind of stuff? Deadlines and you know, kind of the whole impatience thing.
Yeah, no, I have tried to convince a lot of people. I do, of course, we all have people who come in and go, oh, this is Sean, I've bingo wings, I have this, I have that. I'm like, okay, what do we do? Slow it down, let's look at the long game. And I find we're getting better results and better mindsets. I feel if I was one of those coaches who were like, okay, we've got 2 weeks to drop 10 pounds, what benefit is that to your body or bone? It's not going to happen. I find, don't tell me you want to lose 3 kilos in a week. Tell me you want to lose 3 kilos to stay off for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I think that's more important. And I think that mindset.
100%. I mean, you know, a year or 2 years, 3 years down the road, you're not going to care how long it took to lose the 10 pounds of kilos, you know, you're not going to care because you're going to be light, you know, you're going to be in a different place. And that's what's important.
What I always say, especially to my girls, is don't just throw out the scales. Go buy yourself a nice dress and feel sexy as fuck in that dress.
Yeah.
That is much more, you're much more than a number on that scale.
100%.
And feel better in your body, feel better in a dress, or if you can feel better in front of your husband in a nightgown, is that not more important?
That's 100% more important. And that's what makes life so incredible.
Enjoyable.
These moments.
The way the pressure of a diet and restricting calories and everything, takes pressure. It means that you can still have your life and not have to worry about, oh, God, is the scale going to be up?
100%. And the scale has been one of those things. And people in my generation, we grew up with a scale, probably one of those bar scales, too, those balance ones, which are horrific, by the way, because those are way inaccurate, especially if they're not calibrated right. But we grew up with the scale. If it went down, that's good. If it goes up, it's bad, without really understanding what was happening. And I think it's hard to get rid of that mindset, but I don't know if it ever leaves completely, but it is way controllable. You know, and that's what has been like for me, is to be able to control those negative things that have come up after a lifetime. I mean, you know, 30 years of thinking a certain way doesn't go away in one day. It doesn't go away when you flip a switch. It's over time and practice and having a conversation with myself constantly, talking to people. It is a repetition, just like anything else, a skill, you know? And getting away from the scale mentality is super helpful. I also have come back around, and I love the scale for the data it can give me, but I also understand the emotional issues it can trigger with all of us. And so that is a process, you know, and maybe it's a process of, I don't step on the scale for a while. And then it's a process of, okay, I'm getting too comfortable with not stepping on the scale. So, now I have to get back on the scale. You know, I have to get back on and start weighing myself again, because I haven't done that in a while, and I don't want to lose the comfort, you know. I don't want to lose the comfort I had before, because if you stay off of it for a long period of time, you're going to get used to it, and then it's going to be like, now I don't want to step back on. So, I mean, it's a dance, you know. I am currently in that dance, actually. It's tough. It's tough to navigate.
I know, and I've only come out with this recently. This is off topic. And someone asked me, what is the most important thing for losing weight? And I said, mindset.
Yeah.
Not a calorie deficit. It's not the Fuji. It's mindset. If you're not ready to lose weight, if you're not ready to make those little changes, it's not going to happen. So I would think, and where I was going to go with this point was with the mindset, that if you feel yourself get like you're off the scales for a while, okay, let's hop back on. It's not going to affect us. We just know we have to pull our calories back.
Yeah.
So being in that mindset of, we can step on the scales, see we're up a few pounds, but not freaking out and going, oh, fuck, here's the next crash diet. It's that mindset of going, okay, we need to tighten back up our protein and calories and push forwards.
Yeah, and I think 100%. And I think that happens even when we come back from like a vacation or something like that, you know?
Yeah,
I agree with you. I think it is all about mindset. And part of that mindset is also taking responsibility. I think that's super important. Because that's one thing I think we don't do enough of when menopause is around. We're blaming everything else on what's happening to us instead of taking it on ourselves. And I think that's part of the mindset that we're both talking about, is taking responsibility, grabbing the reins, pulling them in, and doing something, taking action.
Literally, you're bullshit, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's exactly right. Don't listen to your own bullshit about blaming someone or something else. Let's take action. And that's not always easy to do. And again, takes practice, but it gets better and better every time that you do it, you know?
Absolutely. That's brilliant.
Yeah. This is amazing, speaking with you, Colin. This is so much fun.
Thank you. I'm loving it. I'm actually loving it. I've got two more questions, and then we can ramble on after that. How's that?
Sounds amazing.
I'm loving this. Doing a lot of research, and I'm finding that opening your knees is highly recommended when you're in menopause. So like we've talked about before, walking and using the stairs. Is there any non-exercises activity that you feel that benefits you?
People say cleaning your house, people say gardening, things like that. You're moving your body without really thinking about it daily, you know what I mean? I also think exercising your mind too is super important. Making you think, whether it's reading or if you take a class or whatever, being occupied and having to think and maybe even be creative or something like that. I would go towards those kinds of things, you know, instead of sitting in a chair at a computer all day, which is what I could easily find myself doing if I allowed that. Getting up, if I have some plants I want to do, plant in the backyard or whatever. I clean my pool. We have a pool in my backyard. I go out and clean the pool. things like that. It's still kind of movement based. It's not, quote, exercise related. And then I'm constantly reading, taking webinars, learning. I'm doing a lot of writing right now. I am just trying to keep my mind active as well. That's what I would recommend. How about you?
I've always said walking. I always say track your steps. No matter what kind of app, track your steps. Because yeah. say 10,000 steps is 10 kilometers.
Yeah,
so
wow.
Get that done a day. If you can just set your mind to even like 10,000 steps a day, something as simple as that. And then, like you said, gardening. We don't have many pools in Ireland, but yeah, anything non-exercise related that you get you moving. Take the stairs rather than taking a lift. Park your car 10,000 feet further away just to get your steps in.
Yeah.
Buy a dog. Bring your dog for a walk.
I don't know the last time I took an escalator.
Brilliant. Same as that. Yeah, I'd much rather use the stairs. And I love it. You get to the top of the stairs, check your count, you could have an extra 50 steps in.
Yeah, I think, you know, in airports and in subways and stuff, I always take the stairs.
You're that one person in America.
I am. And I'm one, that, you know, traveling with the big bags and I'm hauling my butt up the stairs. People are looking at me like I'm absolutely crazy. But yeah, you know what? After sitting on a plane or something, I want to move. So yeah, okay, so I'm going to move. My heart rate gets jacked a little bit and I'm going up the stairs. Yeah, I love it.
Amazing. Perfect. Yes. And how important do you think the NEAT is, getting your NEAT up?
I think it's really important to be aware of it. And you know, I think NEAT's going to just help our overall health in general and emotional health, too. I think the more that we actually do move and whether it's steps or whatever it is, I think the happier just as people we are. So overall health, I think it's so beneficial. And I think there's probably a ton of research that shows, you know, those people that just sit at a computer all day and work and come home and eat and go to bed and just do that day in and day out, their lifespans are going to be shorter. They're less healthy. They're not going to be happy people. And, you know, why would we want to be like that? You know, if we can help it. And so I have become well more aware of my NEAT as I've gotten older. And I think it's just, it makes me just a healthier, happier person overall.
And it would be fair to say with your NEAT, as you pointed, your baby is now 21, 22?
Going on 22, yeah.
In 22. So you're now not chasing him around anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Automatically your NEAT has dropped.
100%. Over time it has dropped significantly.
Yeah, so if he was a little baby, of course, at 2 or 3 years old and running around, you're going to chase him more. But as soon as he gets older, our activity generally just drops anyway, wouldn't it?
Well, it certainly does. And that's one of the big, you know, mysteries, I guess. One reason why people blame menopause for all the weight gain and all that kind of stuff. And it's really not menopause. It's just what you said, that over time, a long time, that our activity level has just gotten less and less and less and less, to the point of us not really noticing it necessarily day in and day out. But over many, many years, that adds up. And if someone becomes way less active and wasn't really active in the gym anyway, well, now we have a perfect storm happening. Because now, you know, you add to that some potential issues with menopause that could be slightly affecting it. You add to that what's really affecting it, and now you've got symptoms that you think it's just menopause, but in reality, you control way more of it than you think. You know, our metabolism does slow down, but definitely not to the point where people give it credit for. It's just
5% a year or something like that.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's insignificant in a big picture. But it's easy to blame, you know. It's just easy to say, oh, that's why, you know.
Because everybody's heard of metabolism, so it has to be that. That has to be the culprit. Same as carb for 2 years.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's just understanding that and then taking responsibility for changing that, because it's not too late to change it. That's kind of the great news out of all of this.
Yes.
Is that in spite of what we think, you can still lose fat, you can still build muscle, you can still get healthy, you can do all of those things once you take responsibility and take action. you know, then now we're talking. Now it's like the world has opened up.
Love it. I absolutely love it. Okay. Darren Littman, last question for you. And just in case, for any ladies who might be in their 30s, is there any advice you would give them now to prepare for their, who prepared their bodies for menopause?
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, get on strength training now while you are still young, because you're going to start losing muscle right about at age 30. That's kind of when it all starts going downhill. Stay on top of that. Get ahead of that now. And then I think when you get to be my age, your scenario is going to be extremely different than most of the people in my age group now. Because what you all know in your 30s, we didn't really know or wasn't talked about. And so that generation is so much more well-equipped to come into middle age than we were. And then we were so much more equipped to come into middle age than my parents were. You know, I mean, it's every generation has an advantage, I think, because we're learning so much every single generation, you know? So get on it now, and be aware of it as you go to college or grad school, or as you get married and have kids and they get older, and just keep on top of it and your nutrition. Just be aware. Doesn't mean you have to be like this, you know, obsessive person that counts every little thing. You don't have to do that, but you need the awareness. I think that will make the complete difference. And when you're 59 years old, then you remember this podcast that Colin and I did, and you remember, yeah, they were right.
Brilliant. I love that.
Yeah. Right?
Said,
yeah, the girl from DC and the dude from Ireland, they were absolutely right. I'm so glad I started back in 30, you know?
Love it. Okay, yeah, so for any 30-year-old out there who's looking like to beat menopause, essentially, is get strength training now and prioritize protein.
Yeah, I would agree. Would you want to add anything onto that?
I'd actually be happy with that. And then, like I said, I would say keep an eye on your knees.
Yeah.
Make sure that's there.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with you on that. I think that's a great one to put on there. Keep an eye on the knee, because I think that will add up over time too. You know, every little bit adds up, and every little bit is a step towards better health, better functional living, you know, better happiness. And so, yeah, it all adds up, I think. And actually, that's a perfect way to put a bow on this.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Colin, this has been absolutely amazing to speak with you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. And what I'd like to say, if anyone is looking for more information on you, Susan, where would they find you?
Well, it's so funny. It's like it's your fun. They know where to find me on Instagram, I hope, at Susan Niebergall Fitness. But let me ask you that. Where can everyone find you?
My Instagram, I'm on Instagram as Colin Daniels, and on Facebook is the very same as a PT, Colin Daniels PT.
I love it.
So for all my listeners that I'm going to be sharing this with, Susan's on Instagram. She's amazing on Instagram. Have a check.
And I want everyone to go check out Colin. Go follow him. He puts out great stuff as well. And I want everyone to know that I'm also going to link Colin's podcast with Jordan, so you can listen to that. And this is kind of a follow-up and a continuation of that conversation as well. But I also want to put out there before I say goodbye is that I so appreciate you, Colin, as a male, bringing this up initially with Jordan and then wanting to continue the conversation with me, because not many male trainers will do that. And I think it's so important that you have done it, and you have helped so many people as a result of you doing that. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's just, I had a conversation only very recently of talking to another male, and I was like, oh, I'm going to try and help women who are going through menopause. He was like, what was that? I was like, you're 60 years old and you still have no idea as a male.
Yeah.
And I guess that's terrible. I think it's like women's bodies should just be talked about more. I've recently seen my partner went through with pregnancy and having a child, and it's given me a complete new outlook on what you girls go through on a day-to-day basis. My hat is off to you. Well done.
Well. You are amazing for bringing it up and continuing the conversation. And thank you so much for helping so many people out there. So appreciate you, Colin.
Thank you so much. Thank you for everything you do.
This was amazing. And great to talk to you, and we will be talking soon, I am sure, okay?
I hope so. Susan, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
All right, you take care.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.